chapter, but in particular verses 10 says, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seed to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all the nations. And when we think about our relationship with God as the church of God, we think of God as the bridegroom, and we are the bride. And there's that wonderful passage in Revelation that speaks of when the bridegroom meets with his bride. Now, I know some men here may not see themselves as a bride, but that's what we are, the church of God. And we're responsible to one another as we seek to serve God together. And it's just a wonderful picture of the church of God as the bride of Christ. Just think some words from Psalm 89 to encourage us today. The Psalms give us confidence, and the Psalms are the expression of the heart of those that have journeyed a similar way that we have and found God to be faithful. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. Just thinking about that song, and we sing these songs because we know them, we love them, but are we really depending on God? Is he really our rock? Is he our foundation? I know what it's like when we go through life and we do wonder whether we are standing on the promises of God. And maybe we've done this for many years and we're finding that we slip off the rock and we find ourselves in the miry clay trying to struggle on in life. I think we all know those feelings. They become very real to us. But I think as we confess these words this morning, faithful one, so unchanging, believe God really wants us to get our feet on that solid rock. You know, the psalmist said, with my God I can scale a wall. With my God I can advance against a troop. There was that real confidence that God was the all in all to him. And our prayer as a church is to see us all and others really coming to depend on God 100%. Because he will never fail us. Some of us have had real failures in life, and we've been failed by others, often people that are closest to us. And that can upset us, and it can put a wedge in our lives. But to let that go and let God be God, and that foundation of God alone, the rock, becomes our stable force. Not our strength, but his strength. Didn't Paul say after he had that vision of the third heaven, when he went into paradise, and he prayed that that thorn from Satan had been given to him so he wouldn't boast and not become proud of what he'd experienced. And he prayed to God and said, oh God, you know, release me from this. Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made known in your weakness. So from that way at time on, Paul said, I will boast in my weaknesses that I might rest in the power of God. And I trust that for us all. We'll carry on. You've got your Bible there, and I hope you have, because it's what we use on a Sunday. Just a word from Philippians. Right in the New Testament there. If somebody's got a church Bible and shout out the page number, that might be helpful. Brilliant. So Just a few verses from the end of Philippians, when I get there. Verses 10 onwards. This is the words of Paul to the church there. And it sort of kind of links with what I want to share with you today. I believe God has given us something to have this morning. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me out again, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment, and even more, I am amply supplied now, and I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ alone. To our God and Father be glory forever and forever. Amen. Well, what confidence the Apostle Paul had in God. Not always. His religion was more important than his relationship. But thinking of those words we've just heard, and thinking of the verse that we kind of launched at the beginning of this year, a verse for our church this year, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. This is a verse that we find in the book of Zechariah chapter 4. And it's a, I hope you've got that underlined in your Bibles or on your phones or wherever. You can underline on your phones, not sure you can, but anyway. You know, highlight it as our verse for the year. And I hope that as we, as Kath has encouraged us to pray, that we pray that verse into existence in our lives. And maybe God will open our eyes to casting our net on the other side as well, because that's all important. But it's true, we all have challenges, don't we? I don't think anybody here isn't going through a challenge or facing a challenge, or indeed has gone through a challenge and you've come out the other way. But challenge is a very real issue in our lives, and it impacts us in so many ways. I know the challenges I've had in my life have caused me to see the world slightly differently. Almost to say, what if you knew what I was going through? If only you knew what I was going through, you would know what it's like. But everyone we meet, whether we know them or not, are going through a challenge of sorts. And it's whether we're anticipating something, whether we're looking to build something in our lives or to look at a fresh challenge in our lives, there's always someone who we need to support. And I think that's where the church comes in. We're here to support each other in our challenges. But the very nature of challenge is often beyond us. I think we go through times in our lives, and I know one or two of you are going through real difficult challenges at the moment. It's beyond us. And we have no means of trying to resolve the challenge. We can't see how we're successfully going to come through. And we face each day looking at ourselves in the mirror and say, Lord, how can I manage today? Sometimes our challenges are beyond our expectation, particularly if you have expectations that are higher than what they should be. But I've come to the point, and I hope you have too, it's not so much the challenges, but it's how much we manage them, how well we manage them is the key. And Zechariah 4, of course, that was a time when Israel was coming back progressively from exile, and they were to build this temple as a witness and a testimony to God, but they were discouraged. There was opposition, and they started building, and then they started giving up. You had that feeling in your life, where you start out in a certain way, then you just feel like that's not working, that's not really doing anything. But the primary message of Zechariah was to bring hope and faithfulness, to bring God right into the picture and say, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. As if God really spoke into their lives at that moment to keep on going and to keep trusting in him when all around seems to be falling apart. You feel like that? But all around you seems to be falling apart. So I want to use this text not for rebuilding a temple, although I believe it's for us for rebuilding this church and casting our net on the other side. We'll be doing things differently, and I'm sure Joy will have that in her mind to affect the wider community. Maybe the things that we've done over the years have been right for us, and we've accepted them, and we're happy in them, but maybe a new pastor with new ideas might want to do things differently. I don't know. When Joyce said the other week about us moving to the front, I thought, oh, well, that's a bit risky. Not going to risk that one. I've tried that, and you know what happened. But I want to use this text from a personal point of view and to say to you that the same God of Zechariah is the same God that brings hope and faithfulness into our lives because he loves us with a never-ending love. You know, it's true that whatever your upbringing was, whether you were dragged up or brought up, and whether you really got on well with your siblings or not, I don't know. But we were always encouraged to stand on your own two feet. That sort of stiff upper lip, that bulldog attitude in this country. That idiom was about dependence on no one. Self-sufficiency, to manage life without the help of anyone. It was in our DNA. That's what we were brought up with, not to trust anyone. And I think to a certain degree that's true, although I think in our society today, I think that's been eroded. I think people are always wanting others to bail them out of a situation. But anyway, that's for another day. But to stand on our own two feet is part of who we are. And we don't really like looking for help. And it's only when we need help that we ask for it. But when we look at Scripture, when we think about our own Christian lives, God is there as our help. In Psalm 46 we read, God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help. Even if the mountains fall into the sea and there's eruptions all around us, be still and know that I am God. God is our refuge and our strength. Is being in present form, not was or will be, is. God is our refuge and strength. And those promises of faithfulness and God being with us is so important as we rely on those promises today. And I know some of you need to rely on them more than others. You see, challenges can either build us up or cast us down. And we create coping methods and coping ways of ensuring that we manage whatever the challenge is. But there's more, and there's a lot more. When Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Here was the man that had learned to trust God in any and every situation. Whether well-fed, whether hungry, whether living in want or in need, he had learned to be content in all and every situation. Godliness with contentment, the favorite verse of mine, is great gain. We brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out. To have contentment as we go through challenges is very difficult to understand. But when we think of Paul, he was a man that had trusted his religious fervor. He had trusted in his own abilities. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a select man, as it were, of God. And yet, when Christ met him on the road to Damascus, he heard that voice from heaven and he was struck blind. He had to be led. For the first time in his life, he realized that he was under the power of Almighty God. Here was a man that learned to rely on Jesus from the moment of his conversion. And it may well be that you've relied on Jesus when times have been fine, when you were young and, you know, life was dandy. Everything was going through really nice and others around you were nice. You were falling in love with everybody, that kind of thing. But now, what's happened? We're going through challenges that we never expected. You see, I believe that there are challenges that we go through that only God can deal with. The rock, standing on the rock, saying to God, "I give up." And I would say that there are only certain challenges, and maybe that's for one or two here, that those challenges can only be overcome through prayer and fasting. That's not popular on a Sunday when we think about roast lunches and so on. But prayer and fasting is a very powerful weapon against those things that we're going through. The challenges that we go through are all relative, and they all affect us in different ways. As I said, when Paul received that revelation of that third heaven, he started boasting in not what he had or what he did. He'd seen something beyond his mind, beyond his imagination. He heard inexpressible things that he was not allowed to talk about. If you think about it now, if somebody has a vision from heaven, they want to have a conference and talk about it. But he didn't. Because it was for him. And maybe God's going to take us from where we are and give us a glimpse of himself in the challenge and in the struggles we go through. There are only challenges that God can deal with, friends. They will come through prayer and for some through fasting. In a few weeks' time, we'll be celebrating Pentecost. Hallelujah. But in a sense, the church was born by the Spirit. When amazing things happened, ordinary unschooled people were speaking in a tongue that they didn't know they were what it was about. And when you think about that time of Pentecost, here was God restoring what had happened in Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel, when they built an edifice for their own glory, and that they could do anything, they said. And God came down and confused their languages. At Pentecost, God corrected that. And they could understand what others were saying because of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says in John 14, "I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may bide with you forever." Notice that he says, "he will give you." It's not he may, it's not possibly, but he will give you another counselor, another comforter. What Jesus is really saying is this: the Holy Spirit is one just like me. He would do in my absence what I have been doing if I were physically with you. So many people, and I believe the devil has has ambushed this about the Holy Spirit, or I don't speak in tongues, and it's all a bit too much for me, and I'm not Pentecostal. But you know, the Holy Spirit is the paraclete, the counselor. He comes alongside us. He ministers to us as Jesus does. And the Holy Spirit is with us now, friends, to minister to you in your challenge. You know, the business of the church is not necessarily about coming to worship and have fellowship. That's important, but it's come for healing and restoration and to know the Holy Spirit in us and for us. Because who can be against us if Jesus is for us? The governor in the days of Zechariah, he was a wonderful name of Zerubbabel. And this man was forbidden to trust in his own resources. He was told not to. Not by might, not by power, but my spirit, says the Lord. Maybe God is saying to you today that only he is going to accomplish something in your life that only he can do. And maybe you get to a point, almost a brick wall, where you're forbidden to go any further because it's at that point where God says, now I am going to show you the way. It's very interesting when I think about this, that God accomplishes that what we can't. I remember talking to a group of deacons of another church. They wisely or otherwise asked me to go and speak to them on their day of retreat. And I said, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I said, Jesus is saying, I will build my church. The trouble is, get in the way and we do things the way we've always done them. We do them because that seems to be what's in the book. But I believe for us here, and I can say corporately now, joy isn't going to build this church, but Jesus is. Hallelujah. With you and with me. We trust. So this text, I want us to just let it rest for us personally today. You know, when you think about that temple that was built, it wasn't the glory of the original temple that Solomon built, but it had glory, it had status, it had a position, it was a place of worship. It was a place of beauty. It was a result of God's ability to do what man could not. Somebody once said, our extremities are God's opportunities. I believe, and I say this honestly, because in the natural I don't see it for me or for you, but I see it in the spirit. God will produce something beautiful in your life. I really believe that. What may seem ugly, what may seem difficult, what may seem impossible. Nothing is impossible with God, and all things are possible for those who believe. In your struggles, friends, in your difficulties, he will produce something. I pray that to be so. Whatever your challenge, he can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Let us pray. We just allow the Holy Spirit himself, the friend, the counselor, the one who comes alongside, the one who speaks words of love, confidence, one who speaks life in what seems to be dead situations, the one who speaks to the lonely heart, the promise that he says, I will never leave you, neither will I forsake you. I speak against anything this morning, any words spoken in your life. But you're not good enough, you're not worthy enough, you're not able enough. Jesus says, you are worthy because I have made you worthy through the blood of the cross. Father, as you again minister by your Holy Spirit, we pray that you will continue to work in our hearts and minds. That we will know, that we will speak out your word, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says Lord, that that word becomes part of our DNA. So we thank you, Father, for sending your Holy Spirit. We pray for a continued anointing on your word. We pray that the enemy would not steal it from us, but you will continue to speak to us and minister to us. And I pray the almighty blessing of God be upon all of us today and upon the church of God, that we might know that as we face uncertain days, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If anybody wants prayer, or say the grace together. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore.